Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave and I are going to do our very best to share with you some encouraging words and stimulate the wisdom that you have between your ears and see if we can't light a match to bring you closer to the Lord and you walking through your daily life. Because sometimes, you know, Dave, it's not easy getting through this good old world. Satan is around us, and he never quits, and he never lets us go. Satan favors the entry point, and it could be someone close to you also. It can be very disturbing when that happens. And you know something? It can even happen in the family unit. I had a little issue many, many years back where I think Satan just grabbed a hold of my brother, and he just turned away from everybody else. He was sort of alone and he's isolated, and all of a sudden he was negative and nasty. Well, you know, he's not that way anymore, but he went through a little spell like that. And isn't that amazing how that can happen to every one of us, have those kinds of experiences? Maybe it's through a marriage, maybe it's through a working relationship, maybe it's somebody in your church, but it can happen real easy. Satan grabs a hold of somebody, and they shakes them all around, and it's easy to get caught up in all of those troubles. And it becomes a hate thing, and it's a terrible thing when those lives can be destroyed just by allowing Satan to grab a hold of their personality. But what you hate reveals what you were created to correct, though. So if you have a dislike for these kinds of issues, then you have to be able to walk away from it, rather be a personal thing or rather be a moral thing. How about abortion? Do we hate abortion? Well, do we want to walk away from that? Do we want to try to correct that problem? Boy, we do. At least I do. I would love to be able to figure out a way to stop it. When we kill something like 60 million babies here in the last, 40, 45 years? How long have it been since we have to face these things? It's a terrible, terrible, terrible issue. Think of all of those lives wasted because somebody thought it was inconvenient at the time. Horrible. Well, what do you do? What do you do? There's things that we dislike. Are some parts of our political system are just uncomfortable. We'd like to change them. We would like to see people pull their own weight and not be able to sit back and laugh at the rest of us for working. It's very annoying when those things happen. Well, that's just life. So we have to try to correct these problems, rather be personal problems, moral problems, political problems, and try to overcome those issues. But we can't focus on the negative things. We have to focus on the championships parts of our lives. We can't run around saying, poor me, I've had some bad luck here, and I'm my brother has caused me to go astray, or I have a wife that led me down the wrong path. Get over these excuses for your shortcomings and make sure you're walking with the Lord every day, and you'll be able to overcome those issues, and you can focus on doing the good things and winning the championship. And that's what we have to focus our attention on, and getting away from the bad spots or the loser part of our lives. When you let go of what's in your hand, God will let go of what is in his hand. So you have to let go of those shortcomings and help other people. When they need help, you offer a helping hand. And it can be just a simple thing. It doesn't have to be a major thing. You know, David, when I start thinking in those kind of terms, I think about last winter one day, I was walking into one of the local restaurants, and I walked right by a gentleman with a walker, and it was a guy behind me. He walked right by him also. We got up to the door, the entrance to the restaurant. I opened one door. It was a double glass door, and the guy behind me grabbed the other door, and we both held the door open for this gentleman coming through with the walker. And I looked at the other gentleman and I whispered, "You know, that's going to be us someday." He looked over at me and said, "Yeah, but I don't think there's going to be anybody there to open the door for us." You know, and I knew his point was that, you know, our world seems to be deteriorating at our feet sometimes. We see all this misery, but you know something? It's always been there. And I think, it's always going to be there. But you have to focus on the good things and on the good people. And if you surround yourself with good people and you're going to help others, it'll come back to you. It'll come back to you. I sincerely believe that. And I believe that's why we have to help each other through tough times.
I think something that is very important here that we're talking about, people get all caught up in their past, get all caught up in the way they lived, and some of them were loudmouth and scream and yell and holler, and all of a sudden people don't trust them anymore, and they stay away from them. So you become a loner. Sometimes the best advice for those kind of people, if you're that one of those that's listening today, I recommend that you live a holy life and keep your mouth shut. Mm-hmm. If you don't open your mouth and you prove to others that you are a Christian, you're going to have to work at something that's going to prove. And every time you get frustrated and you want to scream, yell, and holler, that's not holiness. So you have to shut your mouth so nothing comes out of you at that point. And while you're quiet, that's when you prove to yourself, God is real and God will help me to be quiet. And I can prove. People around me will say, that guy is a Christian. Why? Because I didn't blow my cool, I kept my mouth shut. And holiness came through my heart and through my mouth and through the eyesight of who could see me, not what I said. It was through my eyes, it was through the whole lifestyle that says, you know, I don't have to say I'm holy, but you can see it. I guess that, as a preacher, that has to be a regular part of your life. And you can't come in here and be on the radio and talk to people every day and live any way you please. That's not going to make a gift.
That's right.
If you run out and do all things wrong and you come in here and try to, you know.
It doesn't work.
When I pastored a church, the music director, who could play the piano with her eyes shut, any key, and she was a wow at the music. And then I found out that Saturday night she was playing for the nightclub. She played for 3-4 hours at the nightclub and come in the next morning try to lead my worship in the church. Man, one day I said goodbye. You can't do that. Holiness is something that happens not once a day or when somebody's around. Holiness is a 24-hour deal. Yeah. And if you're going to serve the Lord or the devil, if you want to have a holiness church, you better get rid of those that are not holy.
This lady was not holy. Yeah.
Willing, and she was not willing to change. She said, I got to make a living that's far above what I get here at the church, so I got to do this, and if you don't like it, then I'm through. And she walked away.
How about that?
Yeah. So I say, yeah. I love to see people who walk in holiness without opening their mouth.
Very good. I like that. And that's not easily done sometimes. Because when someone leans on you unjustly, boy, it's very easy to lean back, isn't it? Yes, and it's difficult to do. My hat's off to you for doing that. If you found out that someone who was a part of your life or a major segment of your ministry, and they were not living a godly life, boy, it's difficult sometimes to ask them to refrain from attending any future events, that would be very hard to do.
I'm not talking about something that's really easy to happen. Yeah, that's right. It's hard.
It's hard to do.
It takes time. But you're listening today, and you are saying to yourself, hey, what are these guys talking about? What in the world are they saying?
Well, it's pain.
And when they finally catch on, they walk away with something in their heart that's powerful. You know, when Jesus comes into the conversation and you profess who Jesus is, when that comes from your mouth to another person in their heart, the explosion is so big that people can't help but reach out to say, God, I realize I need you.
Wow.
And when you say yes, you better be ready for the explosion. Your life is going to go, whoa!
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And I have an expression for that one too, Dave. I'm glad you said that. When God wants to bless you, He'll put a person in your life. When Satan wants to destroy you, He'll put a person in your life.
That's exactly
what you were saying, and the point you were demonstrating of how it can happen. And it kind of marries a thought that we were sharing yesterday. Remember we said birds of a feather flock together, and avoid bad people, especially in your teenage years. It's bad at any age. But isn't it heartbreaking to see a good teenager go bad because they got mixed up with some bad people? And that's Satan chewing away at them. And you are correct in your thought process where you're saying, hey, if somebody wants to live in a wild world and not be a true professing Christian, then it's hard for them to participate in Christian activities. And that's very important. We have to be able to be consistent. Avoid Satan and all those bad and nasty habits that you can be subject to, or falling into bad relationships with other people. It's very difficult sometimes. And once you get into it, how do you get out of it? It's even more difficult. So we have to be very careful. Develop friendships that are in favor of doing positive things. Currents of favors begin to flow the moment you solve a problem for somebody. Help somebody in their time of need or their shortcoming. If they're going through difficult times, they've lost their jobs or they're ill, we'll cook a nice meal and take it to them. Bake them a pie or a cake if that's what it takes. Or take them out to the restaurant with you if they're able to be mobile enough. And show somebody some love and compassion. And let people know that there's good things in this world out here. And we are not so greedy that we live our lives with a catcher's mitt on both hands, that we only receive, 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 receive. Christians like to give. They like to plant the seed of peace and happiness and harmony. And that's what we have to do with one another. The seed that leaves your hand never leaves your life, but enters your future where it could be multiplied. That's just helping other people. That's just like we're holding the doors open for people, like we just talked about a few moments ago. Each act of obedience shortens the distance to the miracle that we are pursuing. So we make room for the miracles in our lives and allow Jesus to come and allow other people to see Jesus in our lives. That's what we're trying to allude to. If you're going to be good to other people, that's a reflection of the Lord in your attitude and in your lifestyle. And that's what other people want to see. They want to feel it and they sense it. They don't want to hear it. They want to see it. And that's what we have to do. We have to show other people that Jesus lives in us and we live in Jesus. The quality of your preparation determines the quality of your performance. And that's why we have to live a godly life. And that's true no matter what we're doing, not just in our spiritual lives. That's true with your athletes. The preparation time. The coaches will always tell you, hey, if you're going to practice well, then you're going to play well. If you're going to practice half-heartedly, then you're going to play half-heartedly. You play the way you practice. That's why a good coach will not let people laugh at their mistakes. If you're running out for a pass and you're playing football and the football hits you in the chest and bounces onto the ground and you were supposed to catch it, well, you better not come back to the coach laughing about it. No. Because you see how you are in practice is how you're going to be on the football field.
Here's the problem with that, Giff.
Okay.
The problem is we have a devil that's roaming the world looking for people that he can convince to come his way.
That's right.
The world right now is leaving the church, and the devil makes good copies of people who are no longer in church. They are the most vulnerable now. They used to be able to fight the devil. They used to push him aside. They used to praise God. When they don't go to church anymore, the devil says, ah, there they are.
Yes.
They don't go to church. They're vulnerable. Now they'll accept my story and my way of life.
That's a good way to say it.
If that's what that's how you're pursuing life, take it from Giff and I. You better get back in church and get your life with the armor of God upon your life. You need that shield. You need that righteousness. You need that helmet of salvation. And then you can walk through life and say, hey, what happened to me? I don't have troubles anymore. Because God honored you with your acceptance of saying, hey, I'll go to church. I'll stay close to you, Lord, so that when the devil comes, he says, uh-oh, don't bother them. They're really Christians. We'll move on to something else. So there are two or three families here that left church. Let's go after them.
Yep. Dave, that is an excellent illustration to try to explain to people what we're trying to say. Associate yourself with good people, Christian people, positive people, great people, and avoid those losers. I want to be around champions. I want to make the future a positive thing. And you're right, Dave, that all starts with your attitude of being in church. I like your spirit. If you say, well, I used to go to church, but now I quit, that means the devil won.
Well, if they're asking us,
yes,
Giff Briner and Dave Clone, do you go to church?
Yep.
Oh, man, yeah. We don't. I mean, it's almost a sin to miss.
That's exactly right.
I've been raised that way. And I pastored a church for 7 years that said, hey, guys, you're having all this trouble. I know why, because you don't serve the Lord. You're just falling apart at the seams. The devil has you round his little finger. And you will always be in trouble until you get caught up and find the altar of the church. Find a place where you can call upon God and give your life to him again. It will do you something precious that you will never be able to forget. What Giff and Dave said at the radio broadcast from WPFG.
Wow. You are so correct, my friend. I thank you sincerely. Our listeners, thank you. The season of your life will change every time you decide to use your faith. Dave is trying to share with you that you have to exercise your faith every day. And you go to church to get refueled, get regenerated, to get some food that lasts you again and again and again. You can't have one meal at Christmas time and expect that to hold you till Easter, and have another meal with Easter and hope that holds you to next Christmas. That's not the way it works. You need to be fed routinely, and that's why we go to church. Don't wait until there's nothing left in you but faith before you decide to walk with the Lord. You have to do that every day.
Well, America's on its own.
Yep.
They've chosen to leave the church and to sit at home and to say, hey, I don't need that anymore. We are in chaos in our country.
Yeah, we are.
We struggle with life because we don't give God the honor that he deserves for creating our nation and our forefathers who brought religion and salvation. The universities used to have preachers who was their presidents.
That's right.
And now you can't even hardly be a Christian to go to the college.
That's right.
To make fun of you.
Yep.
So we got it all twisted. And sometimes what we are talking about, Giff, people turn the dial and say, I don't need that.
Yeah.
But when they listen, the Holy Spirit, God is God the Father, and Jesus is his Son, and the Holy Spirit is that beautiful part of our life on earth. We don't see Jesus on earth, but we experience the Holy Spirit here.
That's right.
And he gives us good advice, go to church. Get on your knees. Learn to pray. Teach your children. Be somebody that's full of life and God, and live out successful life that nobody can ever prove to you that anything is any better. That's where we are. I think that's the way you and I are talking today.
Yes, it is. And I thank you for that. I can tell that all your years in the pulpit have paid off, because you were very effective in letting our listeners realize that they have to do that. They have to maintain their Christian spirit and their Christian life all of the time, day in and day out, not just when it's convenient, but all of the time. Pray for those people that are around you. Be good to these people. Give them proof that you are a Christian person, and that you have overcome all the worldly obstacles, and that sometimes, okay, the world does change around you, but you don't have to change with it. You don't have to give in to the devil. You have conquered over all of these terrible things that have been around us. We've talked about several of them today, and it can be an ongoing issue. If you let it chew away at you, the devil will win. Stay in church and continue to help other people who are in need, and you have life better than you think you do. The season for research is not the season for the marketing. We have to not try to sell our Christianity. We have to live our Christianity and show it to our friends and our neighbors. Reassure each other that we are still looking, and we are trying to market Christianity and have other people experience the living Lord that we all experience day in and day out. Because if you fail to master the very things in your life that you need to, you end up being on that loser side. We want to stay on the positive side, on the Christ-like side. So what you fail to master in your life will eventually master you. And if you give in to these shortcomings, or rather it be simple things, or rather it be complex things, the devil will win. Make sure you're in church. Make sure that you keep yourself physically fit. Make sure you get sufficient exercise. Make sure that you let your family and friends know that you love and care for them. And ensure that your church team members are part of your life, and let them know that you care for them. Go where you are and celebrate instead of what you tolerate. So if you're going to go to church, let them know that you want to be there. This isn't something you have to do as a checkoff. But you love to be around Christian people. And the broken become masters at mending if you're going to find yourself around Christian people. That's a good experience. Experience is good sometimes. You know, sometimes we can make fun of experience. I always say, you know, experience is only necessary if you want the future to look like the past. But sometimes experience in what you're doing pays off, especially in your Christian walk. It's very, very important that we follow the guidelines that Dave just mentioned. Stay in church. Bring your family and friends with them. Be an encourager. Tell your neighbors where they should be and invite them to come to church. And do your very best to live a godly life, and not just talk about it, but show them. That's the Christian way, to show them your life, not just read it to them. Dave, once again, the time has expired, and we have to say goodbye to our listeners. I'll say goodbye, but I know you always have a positive closing thought for them. So I'll say Gift Briner saying bye-bye for now, and now it's Dave's turn to share a message with you.
Hey, every relationship in your life is a current moving you toward your dreams. Gift and I want to say today, there are many listening who have dreams, and you can't get them going. You can't get something that stirs your whole life into a new dream, a new relationship. So don't let the current move you out of your dream. Live with it and ask God to help you to share it with not only your family, but everywhere you go. You'll be a happy person because you did. Until the next time, Dave Colonin here as well. And join our fellowship with Gift Briner. Happy two guys with heart. Oh, that's us. See you next time. Bye-bye.